Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless His name. You know, this song takes me back to my youth, some 40 years ago. And the Lord has kept me because through it all, I learned to depend upon His word. Let us trust in God. As Pastor admonished us this morning, put our faith in God because He will never let us down. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, He is mighty, and He is a faithful God. So this morning, we are going to talk about the fourth woman in Jesus' genealogy. We've had the scripture read to us from 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it really puts everything in context about Bathsheba. And the introduction for all the women goes, not unlike his spiritual family today. Jesus' biological family is filled with outcasts and broken people. Yet he celebrates and loves these unlikely people and turns them into unlikely heroes. So today we focus on one of the five key women, Bathsheba, who is the fourth one. So Bathsheba, even though not mentioned by name, was the first of four women to be included in Jesus' genealogy. And that's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 6, where it reads, "And Jesse begat David, the king. And David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." And that's the King James Version. The NIV says, "David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife." So you can see here, she wasn't mentioned by name. However, Bathsheba, you know, she's written about across three books, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. And it's in Chronicles that we hear what her name means, which is the daughter of oath. And that's in the Hebrew sense. So who was Bathsheba? And again, it talks about where she comes from, but not directly about her. So it says in the Bible that Bathsheba was a beautiful goddaughter of Ahithophel, a shrewd military and political counselor of David. She belonged to an elite warrior family, and her husband Uriah was a high-ranking professional soldier, one of the respected warriors called the 30th. Her father and husband were stationed at Jerusalem, directly under the control of David, because they were David's personal bodyguards, his champions. They were renowned for bravery. So the name Bathsheba came up, and of course, Chronicles tell us that she is. Her name means the oath. It also says in Chronicles that she's the seventh daughter of her father's. And again, it could mean, the name Bathsheba could mean daughter of obstruction. But while we are talking about names, It's worth noting here that David's name means beloved. So David was beloved of God. So the story of Bathsheba really has two parts. Part one is about David and Bathsheba. And part two is about King Solomon. It's a very long story, so I'm going to be praising as I go along because it's so long. So in 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 26, and also in chapter 12, 15 to 25, Bathsheba was seen as a beautiful woman. She was seen by David, but also accepted. That was an accepted fact. And some scholars said, you know, she was the power behind Solomon's throne, and that's in story two. But some thought she was a clever and unscrupulous woman, but that is not recorded in the biblical record of what took place. And that's what I'll be talking about today, the record that is in the Bible. So she was seen by David, Samuel 11, 1:26, as she bathed. And she was desired by him and subsequently became pregnant to him, even though she was married to the soldier Uriah. And it surprises me a little bit that David didn't know about Bathsheba before, but perhaps he wasn't interested in his soldier's partners or wives at the time. As a result of Bathsheba becoming pregnant for David, he arranged to get rid of him, but not before he tried to persuade Uriah to go home and sleep with his wife, because he intended to cover his tracks. Which, you know, sin is not a good thing. It never was and never will be, because it makes us think in ways that it's not right. He, David, sought to get rid of Uriah when he found out that Uriah didn't do as he said. He sent for him to come. Uriah came because he was the king. He was obedient. But he disobeyed him. But it wasn't because he wanted to disobey him, but because he was so true, he was so loyal to the king, that he said to him, I don't really want to go home because the men are fighting in the war. So I'm going to sleep here, right here in front of the palace with all your other servants. So he didn't go home. And of course, David became cross. And he thought, well, what I've done is going to come up. It's going to come out. So let me get rid of Uriah. So he sent for him. And when he sent for him, he came, but did not obey him. And because the story is such a long one, I'm going to cut it short in places, because, you know, David had to think, well, how am I going to get out of this one? But he didn't get out of it, even though what he did was to give a letter to Uriah to take to his general, Joab, so that he could get rid of him, put him in the forefront of the battle, so that he would be killed. And of course, Uriah got killed. And the message came back to David that he had been killed. So again, David, after a while, tried to cover his sin. And he married Bathsheba. But you know, God is not asleep, as we know. And even though God loved David with a great love, he could not overlook what he did because it was wrong. It really was wrong. And even though, you know, there was a prophet that came to David, Nathan, who prophesied that David's children will inherit his throne. We didn't know which one yet, but it will happen. And what will happen is that the throne of David will last forever. And, you know, it is true. It did last, and it is lasting forever. But also, because of what David did, he brought a kind of judgment on his family. So Nathan, the prophet, prophesied. And it's recorded in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 15. In verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. And following on from this, now the traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one that had come to him. When Uriah did not do what David said, David became very angry. And that's why he killed him. Because Uriah wasn't going to be that thing that covered what he did. And as I say, he had him killed. But God was looking down. And he did not allow the child that David and Bathsheba had to live. But you know, God had a plan from the beginning. He had a plan. And as we go through this today, I hope we will see. And there was a parable by Nathan in verse 10 of 2 Samuel. And it says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. So even after he'd married Bathsheba, thinking probably he was doing the right thing, it brought judgment on him. And in verse 11, Nathan went on, thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up an evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the bright sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do the thing before all Israel and before the sun. Now, David knew that God was watching him. He must have known. You know, this is a man that God said, he's after my own heart. So he must have known that he'd done wrong. Nevertheless, you know, sometimes sin blind our eyes and it blind our loyalty to God when we do that which is wrong. And David went on, and God gave them another son. This time, the son God asked them to call him Solomon, because he was special. God loved him. And so the prophecies here are very, very important, because it goes right through David's lineage and through his life. And it showed that, you know, God, even though he judged David, he still loved him. What great love. What great love God has for his people. And even though he pronounced a judgment on him, there was also blessings in it for David's family. And it was here that Bathsheba played a part. So we ask the question, why should she be here? Remember, although she was the member of an elite warrior family, being Uriah's wife, she was something like the wife of a high-ranking samurai. And her grandfather was close allied to David. And so it's safe to assume that David may have known about her. We don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. But we notice that he sent somebody to find out who she was when he saw her bathing. And we don't know where she was bathing, but we knew that David, from his flat roof, because in those days the houses were made with flat roofs, we know that he was watching her and that he fell in love with this beautiful woman without having met her, even before he'd met her. And because he fell in love with her, he sent messengers to bring her to him. That was his first mistake, because he slept with her and committed a great sin. And even though the story of Bathsheba is, you know, it's kind of overshadowed by David's story, but she was an important part of this. And that's one of the reasons why she was there. We knew who she belonged to even before we knew who she were. And the first time we hear anything about Bathsheba or hear her speaking is actually when she said to David, or sent the message to him, that she was pregnant. Bathsheba was the wife of the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, a soldier in the army of David. And you know, sometimes we think that, you know, a man of God, because he was, you know, the temptations that comes, that they can overcome them. But remember that as man or as woman, we are flesh, we're weak. And because of his weakness as a man, he committed this terrible sin. And so what was David doing there? As we read in the chapter 11, we know that, you know, that Israel was in the final stage of the war with the Amorites. And it was winter. And during the springtime, David would normally be fighting with them. But he decided that he was going to have some time out. And even though his men kept fighting because he commanded them to take the city, the capital, Rabbah of Ammon, but he wasn't going to be there to lead the army into battle as he normally would. And he's staying behind. We don't know what God's plan is, whether it was God's plan for him to stay behind, but he did. And it seems that it would have been better for him to have gone to the battle. So, after the happenings between David and Bathsheba, when he sent for Uriah, he questioned him about what was going on in the army, as you would. But that wasn't his intention. His intention was to send him back to the front to be killed, to cover his tracks. So why was she there? She was there, number one, because she was to become the mother of Solomon. Remember, God told David that a son would be born to him. And he told him the name of this son. And in the Jewish language, it says Jedidiah, meaning beloved of God. So Solomon was going to be the heir for David. And you remember in the scriptures, in Kings or in Chronicles, and David wanted to build a temple. But God said, no, 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 you can't build a temple because there's too much blood on your hand. But I'm going to give you this child, which is going to become king, and he's going to reign, and he will build a temple. So she was there, first of all, to become Solomon's mother. And why was she there? She was there because she would be instrumental in ensuring that God's promise was kept. Because as in part two, the story unfolded, Solomon, one of David's older sons, tried to take over the throne by a coup. And his other brother, Adonijah, tried to crown himself king. But we know that the throne would be established forever through Solomon. Why was she there? She was there to remind David when Adonijah tried to crown himself as king. Remind him what God says. God said Solomon was going to be on the throne. And herself and Nathan approached David to remind him of God's promise. And this put things into motion. And Solomon eventually became crowned as king. Why was she there? Bathsheba's story is a story of redemption when seen from her perspective rather than David's perspective. Remember, Jesus' birth was foretold in many prophecies in the Old Testament. A Messiah was promised, but it goes back before that. Remember, Adam sinned. God made a plan right back then, a plan of redemption for mankind, because he knew the God who sees the future, the God who knows everything. He promised a Messiah, and Abraham and Isaac and Judah and Jesse and David were people who played a very important part in the coming of that Messiah. But Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, it began then. The prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. Matthew 1, 2 to 16, and Luke 3, 23 to 38. And it's interesting because Luke went right back to the beginning, charting Jesus' genealogies back to Adam. When he writes in verse 38, the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Abraham, who was the son of God. He took it back from the birth of Jesus, right back, to show how Jesus' coming into the world was charted. In verse 16, he says, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And that's for the next message. So David was the father of Solomon. Through Jesus, going back, whichever way you take it, came the redemption. And this is where Bathsheba's story put the link in. Jesus, the one who was the Savior, who came to redeem us, to bring us back when Adam sinned. He came, redemption means bought back through his blood, brought us back to God in the work of redemption. Because he offered up himself to become the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, died in our place, bore our sins. He was striped, and through his stripes brought healing through his wounds to us. He became the truth and the life. He became our provider. But he was the Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sin of the world, redeeming us back to God. So that's why she was there. Through her, redemption came. Redemption came. Jesus died and he rose again. And he is now our soon coming King. Finally, what has redemption given to us? And I'm just going to ask you to just turn to Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to quickly read from verses 1 to 10. Because, you know, he did not just redeem us and leave us here. There is purpose in his redemption. And John wrote, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or in earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is also to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before him. Each one had a harp. They were holding the golden bowls filled with incense, which was the praise of the saints. And they sang, "You are worthy to open its seal because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." That is redemption. Through redemption, we have become priests and kings with Christ. That's why Bathsheba was there. She was there to play this necessary part, to make sure that the lineage and the throne of David and of Solomon was established, and that Christ would come through that throne to redeem us from sin. That's why she was there. God bless you. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.